Bob? We need to approve the minutes from our last meeting.
I'll move to approve those.
Thank you, Kyle.
I'll second.
Kevin, Larry, any discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Comments from the public?
Seeing none.
All righty. Renewal of the district's insurance policies.
All right. We have a thick packet if you'd want it, but we've got a summary page. Did we hand those out, Kristen? This is a renewal from your last year's premium. If you look, there is a $102 reduction in your premium. So if you look, what you have had is general liability. That's $1 million worth of general liability insurance, plus your defense costs are outside the amount of that $1 million coverage. Your directors and officers liability, that's $1 million also. Then a couple of bonds that are statutorily required, your public employee blanket crime bond and director bond, and then your workers' comp. And so you have a reduction. Down below are the optional coverages that we've talked about in the past. Pollution liability, it would cover, if there is a pollution claim. We often have those where those coverages where you are either doing a redevelopment project, or if you're operating water and sewer facilities that may have chlorine and, things. Because we're a city customer, the likelihood of having a pollution claim is extremely remote. And so we have declined that coverage in the past because it wasn't perceived that there was a likelihood that we would have that type of claim. Umbrella liability just adds another $1 million over everything up above, other than your D&O. If you want more D&O, it's about $1,000 per million. So you're at a million. If you wanted 2 million, it would just increase your premium to $2,500. Business travel accident, that would cover if while you are traveling for the board. I think the perception is everybody would have their own insurance to cover those things, and we're really not traveling on behalf of the district often. Law enforcement, if in the future we do supplemental law enforcement, we will recommend that you get both the law enforcement liability and their bonds. But at this point, we are not doing that. You do not own and operate or maintain a computer system. Those are all done separately through your consultants, and so we don't recommend a need for cyber liability. So with that, we would, and again, your billing and collections will be done through the city, not through you independently when you have water and sewer system, which is potential cyber liability. So with that, we'd recommend you renew your policies. Obviously, this is a business decision on y'all's part, but if you renewed your existing policies, you would have a $102 reduction from last year's premium.
Okay, you said the D&O was $1 million, but it's $1.5 million on here. I just wanted to.
Is that?
At least mine says that.
No. That's the premium. It's $1,500. I believe it's a million coverage, isn't that right? Let's see. Yeah, it's a million coverage.
Okay. That's $1,500.
With $1,500. If you went to 2 million, it'd be $2,500.
Okay. And any peace officers that are on the property, are they at the direction of Bill right now?
They're only if we only obtain this insurance if we employ them. Right now, those are all employed through the county departments.
We don't employ any.
So if you have somebody sitting at the road,
they may have security, but
they're acting as security, not law enforcement.
They're security, and they're employed by our tenant.
Okay.
Yeah. So many of our districts, particularly suburban districts, pay to have supplemental police service through the county, and they enter into a contract for those services. And we may decide to do that at a later time. It's something you'd consider at a later date, but we're not doing that at this time. Okay?
Do you need a motion?
We didn't need a motion.
Can I ask a quick question,
Sure.
Steve? So on the, and I know we looked at this, I think, two or three meetings ago, but when does your firm review and approve the contracts for construction?
Yes, we do.
So I'm sure as standard language in those, there is ample coverage requirements, and we are named as additionally insured on
that. That's correct. So a couple of things. One, for claims, we require both payment and performance bonds.
Yes.
In addition, they have to provide the basically what's generally referred to as builder's risk insurance, and they have to name us as an additional insured
under on those policies.
On those policies.
And probably they're carrying some form of GL as well.
That's right. So,
this GL policy really is a...
is for the district.
And would probably be rarely engaged.
Because of our immunities, most of the time these policies are used to make sure whatever lawyer sued figures out that they sued a governmental entity and get us released from the policy. That's the best used. Now, we can get into construction contract disputes. That's the most likely claim that we will have. And that will be more of a contractual dispute. But if we're sued, we'd certainly seek coverage from the insurance company for the defense.
Defense. Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay?
Thank you.
I move we renew the policy.
Pass the minute. All right. That's it.
I'll second that.
Second, Mary. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. All right.
Do we need to sign this?
No. We have an execution copy.
Okay.
Next is financial and bookkeeping matters, including payment of bills and adopt an amended budget for fiscal year November 30th, 2018.
All right. Good to see everyone. We have my report. You can see that we are showing a deficit on the front page, the $6,503, but your developer has already handed me a check to cover that, and I'll get that in the bank later today. Page 2 at the top portion, you can see the activities since last time we met. You can see your developer did advance us the $32,200. Next is the current month's activity and those checks that I have for your approval today, total $6,956.25. I'll just go through a few of these because they're out of the ordinary. Check number 0184 to Brazos Central Appraisal District. That's our first quarter estimated amount. 0186, that's the insurance renewal we just spoke about. We also have 0187, which is the tax bond policy.
Yeah, and a lot of those things will be paid out of your tax account in the future because appraisal district fees, tax bond policy, you have to have a tax assessor bond in the district's name. So you pay that, but it usually comes out of the tax account, but since there's no money in your tax account right now, but in the future, because we're going to be adopting your tax rate and we will have money in your tax account starting probably by the end of January, you won't see those expenses coming out.
So the second quarter appraisal will probably go through him, and then next tax bond renewal will go through your tax account. And then that last check, I just wanted to point out, it's our U.S. Treasury. It's actually payroll taxes. You guys are a 944 filer, which means you only have to file payroll taxes one time a year, so this is for your entire year. The next page is your budget actual. I am showing you 12 months into the quarter of the 30th. Overall, you're running under on revenues from what you budgeted for and way under on expenditures. This is not finalized. I do not have November's bank statement, and so I'll finalize this, and it'll go out with your annual financial report that I'm working on. Then this back page is the budget that I feel like I should draw for you guys. No, these are the true-up numbers from what we spoke about last time. And so we want to put this in place. The maintenance tax is at $1, and I do have the tax assessor fees taken out as a line item under expenses because he'll have his own accounts.
And if you look at this budget, you can see for the first time you've got significant maintenance tax revenues of about $60,000. Usually when development begins, it's 2 years anywhere from a year to 2 years for us to get to the point where you're self-sustaining. Obviously, that's Bill's goal, is to not continue to have to write checks to support. The developer advance line item is considered an operating advance, and under our financing agreement with the developer, those are items that we will reimburse from your bond proceeds as soon as we have a bond issue.
Mm-hmm. And obviously all that's, you know, tracked. So. And then, so just approve payment of bills, and then if you want to go ahead and put the true-up budget in place for operating, and then I need 3 signatures on the checks because there's only 3 people here, so please sign those.
Is that the stack of checks?
That's the stack.
Can I draw something?
Yes.
No, do you guys have any questions? Feel free.
So fiscal year starts this month.
Okay.
And we can amend budgets as throughout the year to the extent we're a little bit of a, you know, at this point, it's kind of
boilerplate.
Yeah. We're kind of money in, money out as the activity ramps up. After we're in full development phase, it'll be very stable and we'll know kind of what the budget looks like.
And on your maintenance tax, the 60,000, you did it at, did you do that at 95%?
I did it at 95% to allow for.
Yeah, for the expenses. Yeah. It's what we do because there's expenses that come out of your tax account, like our fees, CAD fees, there's, you know, if there's bonds, stuff like that. It's so not 100% of the maintenance tax that we collect will actually get transferred. There'll be some money in your tax account that'll be left.
So basically, I won't use 100%. He'll use some.
Part of it.
Gotcha. So you need us to a motion to approve and adopt the budget?
Yes, put the budget in place and then also to pay bills.
I'd move to adopt the budget and pay bills.
Thank you, Kyle. One second.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
All right, thank you.
Tax assessment and collection matters.
Okay, yeah, there's a tax report again. I'm not going to go over it. There's nothing yet. You will actually, at your next meeting, you will see hopefully some collections and some more numbers showing up in that report. I'll go over it at that time. I am still holding, we talked about this, your signature card. We have sent a copy of this to the bank. But Brian Fisher, he's not here. Remember, we're still waiting on his signature. So I'm still waiting on, so we're holding that. And then I had,
I will get him to sign.
And if you can just mail it to us, that would be great. And then I had Hunter sign a piece of document. All that is given because the bank account belongs to the district. And you're the signers on it. But obviously, I'll be transferring money to your bookkeeper and things like that from your account. It just gives us access to that account. That's all I have this time.
So, as a just out of matter of curiosity, on the values for the district, there's kind of been, there was a migration up in 16, from 15 to 16, then it went back down. Is that something that is that value discussed on an annualized basis?
Yeah, so the assessed value is established by the appraisal district.
Correct.
Obviously, your property owner has the right to render
discuss.
And discuss that rate, amount. Yeah. Going forward, you know, we will begin having homeowners and lots of diversity in our tax rate, properties that are
values.
Subject to
yeah.
And it will stabilize as you begin seeing that, and it's less of a commercial, you know, the kind of the individuals are fairly easy to track what the homes are selling for. You know, appraisal districts are very good at that. Land and commercial is significantly harder.
Right.
And so you may see it on that portion more than you do on the homes. Homes are fairly stable.
Okay.
Bill, is there still a significant value in the improvements from the racetrack, or are they all depreciated out?
We've They've depreciated down pursuant to the income of the property tax code, and so right now we don't carry much of the improvements.
And we get a tax roll every year, and actually we will get. You see, it says CR on there. That's for stands for certified roll, and we'll actually get supplemental rolls because once you start growing, the appraisal district does it as of January 1 of each year. But they will supplement on accounts all through the year. And you will see supplemental, so you will see that those values fluctuate either going up by them adding more accounts, or maybe you'll see a decrease sometimes because they went and protested and they got their values lowered. So it happens all through the year. I mean, this is the very beginning. I mean, obviously your main taxpayer is your developer right now.
Bill, there was in the land that the directors were owners of, mm-hmm. we conveyed some of that back to Greens Prairie Investors, mm-hmm. and then we shifted to a new piece.
Right.
So as those tax payments came out, did we get all that resolved so both sections were paid by the district?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, actually we paid them.
Yeah,
correctly.
Developer paid.
Yeah, okay.
We got a cover.
There was a little confusion last week on one of the tax payments, but all that, you're on top of it.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. All right, so what do we need to do? Do we need to take any action on tax collection and matters?
No action.
All right, moving on. Conduct public hearing regarding district's tax rate, adopt order levying taxes, and authorize execution of amendment to information form.
All right, just a reminder, the tax rate setting process is a two-step process. Last time you proposed a tax rate and voted on that and then authorized that to be published. At this point, we may have done it by mailing. We did by mailing because of the limited number of property tax payers. But this is the first time that you'll go through this. We're just going to be levying property taxes primarily on the developer. But what we have to do is to open a public hearing. Allow anyone to speak for or against the tax rate, and then you're able to adopt the order levying taxes. We will always amend your information form whenever we set tax rates or we sell bonds. That has attached to it what's called the notice to purchasers. That's filed in the deed records, and so anyone who purchases property in the district, when they do a purchase contract or when they close, they must sign that notice to purchaser where they know that they're in a district, they're subject to its taxes, how many bonds it's authorized, how many bonds it's sold. So no one can ever claim, I didn't know I was in the district.
Right.
So we record that in the deed records. Whenever they pull title, it'll be there. So you'll see this quite often whenever we see tax rates or we sell bonds, those kind of things. Moving forward, okay. The rate is at this point is $1. That is the rate that we have pro forma'd to move forward with. The at this point, that dollar is 100% maintenance and operations tax. So it is all going into your general fund, and it will allow us to build up some fund balances. Between now and our first bond issue, that will probably be 2 to 3 years away. When we do sell bonds, that dollar will then be allocated between a portion to pay debt service on your bonds and a portion to pay your maintenance and operations tax expenses. Okay? With that, Hunter, we need to open the public hearing.
Okay, I'll open the public hearing at 12:25.
Okay. Would anyone like to speak for or against regarding tax rate? Seeing none, you can close it.
Okay, I'll close the meeting at 12:26.
All right. And so at this point, we need to adopt the order levying taxes at $1 per 100, or that's basically 1%. And adopt the amendment to the information form to reflect your 2017 tax rate.
I move to adopt the tax rate and to authorize execution of the annual amendments.
I second that.
Any further discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All right, we are report on development in the district and approve amendment to development financing agreement.
Are we doing that development?
Yeah, no, we're not.
Yeah. The financing agreement will be another time because we have a couple entities. We got to make sure we get in the right bucket for the financing. So, development, basically, Copart, the tenant, is going to be off at the end of February, and so we're resetting our construction schedule accordingly. I think we've still been holding the mass grading and clearing, which will, you know, get into that construction schedule. And we are getting ready to send out contracts to our builders with a projected substantial completion date for section 100 of October or November. And right now, it looks like all that's going to occur. Builder interest is still there, and we're ready to start building houses.
So infrastructure will start first, and then you'll contact builders at the same time?
No, we're actually pre-selling at least 50% of the lots.
Good.
Matter of fact, we have commitments for in excess of that. We get a lot of builder input before we, you know, even submit the drawings to the city for approvals, and we want to get back on their feedback on marketing and stuff, because they're going to be the person, people interacting with that frontline customer. And we need to make sure that we're servicing that market. So no, we don't wait till afterwards with them. The tax rate y'all just adopted, we talked to the builders about that, effects on their market, how they wanted to look at it, you know, what does that happen to somebody's underwriting standards, all those kinds of things. So things like that are vetted pretty closely.
So you think people selling houses in the spring of 19?
It could be even earlier. It could be in the winter of 18. We're looking at different ways you can speed up things like model home delivery and new constructions, getting the vertical development in. But, you know, that really is going to, weather to permitting to, you know, all these different things can affect that. So it's very hard to project when that will occur. What we're really trying to do is deliver lots so in, you know, January of 19, they're up and running. And they're ready to deliver. They have their model homes professionally staffed, and that's really will be their focus to be delivering at that time.
Bill, one thing that we have found in new markets like this is if we can create a document that, you know, basically FAQ, what is a MUD, what does it do, what is it paying for, that goes into the packets that people, when they come into the builder sales offices, it really helps us.
I can see that.
Later when we have the public hearing for the first tax rate and you have some residents and you remember.
Yeah, and most of them don't.
Yeah, we can help with that if you like.
Yeah. I would like to have that.
I would like that a lot.
Yes.
I would like that a lot.
I would really like that a lot. Because
yes.
She's the one who gets the phone calls.
Yeah. That's right. So, any other questions about the development time?
What, when these builders commit to a lot set, do they, how much do they have to put down? I mean, they take it out as they start construction? How do they do that?
You're talking about like earnest money, or
yeah. If I say I want 50 lots, I'm committing to you for 50 lots. How much money do you get?
That you negotiate that, but you know, these builders are really doing their best to position themselves, so some of them have offered some pretty nice earnest money. But, you know, the earnest money's nice. I'm not discounting that, but it's the quality of the builder right now.
Yeah.
So, and their track record speaks a lot more than their earnest money. And actually, we've had some negotiations with some other national builders that we have decided not to work with because we prefer the reputation of the group that we're working with.
Now, how many builders are you contemplating opening up to?
This one will probably start with three, and we'll see how they perform until the next section.
And each section will kind of carry its own.
Yeah, it will. But we've already engaged Jones and Carter to start planning and designing the next two sections of lots.
Right.
And the builders, we have certain benchmarks where they'll say, you know, in 6 months, as an example, we're going to need 50 more lots or whatever they're. And so there's certain benchmarks, and we want to be able to meet that so they never have a slowdown. In our market, especially for our product type, most of the development, most of the home buyers are really what is called non-organic growth. They're not coming from our market per se. There will be plenty of them, but right now we're going to be serving that market of the people coming in
for the first time.
For the first time into our market. That's what our demographics say. And what they are used to is what is delivered in metropolitan areas, which is basically your house will be built on that lot in 4 months, and yeah. Here's your updates, and it is delivered in that period of time because they know these people are moving from somewhere. They got all these contingencies on, and so if that house isn't ready, you know, it's a problem. So that's why we are, as a developer, trying to make sure that the builders know when they tell somebody that they take a contract on the next section of lots, they know, they have a confidence level when they're going to be able to deliver that. Our builders are, you know, more volume builders because they have time on delivery issues, not time on delivery of the house, but they'll be going from electrical to plumbing to whatever. I mean, they're very time sensitive, so which allows you to, you know, pay your subs quicker. The subs don't have to make multiple trips out, and it keeps the quality of the work, you know, more consistent, and so that's what we're trying to serve for these people moving into our market.
Yeah, that's great.
Cool.
All right. Anything further, gentlemen?
Yeah, there's no action required.
Fantastic. Report on engineering matters, including A through E,
and all of those. All A through E have. I have nothing to bring at this time. So.
That was very anticlimactic. Jeez. I was so excited
just here to
talk about engineering.
Yes, and but it's just a bunch of placeholders for next time. So
I will go back on just let you know on the construction engineering is that the offsite sewer line is still under construction, and you know that. In our construction timeline and engineering timeline, is designed so that we can bring on, once Copart moves off and we're able to really start laying a lot of the utilities, that's outside of Section 100. That's one of the slowdowns. The getting that engineering time schedule is what we've been watching. So it's under construction right now, the sewer line.
Cool. Excellent. All right. If not, we're done with eight, then. Engineering's report was...
Yep.
No, oh, great job, young man.
Wow, it's going to take a while.
I was going to say, meeting schedule, and he must have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Meetings.
I think at this point, Bill, unless we have any construction contracts or anything else that needs to be approved, it would probably be a February meeting. unless there's...
We have approval to do bids.
So everything we're going to bid, we have all that. All we have is like pay applications and maybe a change order that's going to be coming up, but we can do that through the...
But have we gone through the process of setting up the construction subcommittee?
Yeah. We adopted a policy, but we haven't actually named and appointed.
I would say,
we certainly can meet in January if there's a need.
February should be, I think, we'll be final February.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're early February.
Right. Know. Yeah. We're the first Friday in February.
Yes.
Yeah.
So February 2nd.
February 2nd. Can we go ahead and pencil that in?
Ink.
That's all I got is ink.
Ink that away.
Ink it in. I like it.
But we did approve that, so you can put that committee together any time between now and then.
Yeah.
Because we've already approved.
Yeah, we took action to create.
But we'll do that.
So convene into executive session pursuant to section 551.071. No need for that, so we can bypass that. Reconvene in open session. Bypass that. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. All right. Done.